Nobody knows what to think, and that's good. Sometimes that can shake us out of the way we normally think and can get us ready. I want to thank all of you for your prayers for my wife and I. A week and a half ago, we brought a little child into the world, and it was a wonderful experience, but obviously one that we're glad is over. We are glad to have him, and he's a blessing. I love our little boy already so much. It's a wonderful thing to be a father, and now I feel like I fit in with everybody who talks about their kids and the things that they put them through, and I've only had 10 nights of it, and so I'm pretty excited for the rest of it, and I know that that there's many other things coming, and I'll receive all of your advice following this service. So I appreciate it, but I appreciate your prayers. It's a blessing to be a father. It's a blessing to be entrusted with a child to raise up for the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter number 10 is where we'll be this evening, and it is a pleasure to preach. Pleasure to have my wife here. I thank the Lord that she's well enough to be here. And I know that largely that is due to the prayers of many people in this room, people who've told me and texted me that you've been praying, and it's been answered because Becca was up and about the next day, just walking around the room, not really much that you would normally think of the difficulties, though obviously some of those still being there. So I appreciate her being able to be here. If you've turned in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 10, though you are just seated, I invite you to stand as we read God's word this evening. 1 Samuel chapter number 10, we'll begin reading in verse number 20, but we will be preaching from chapter number 9, chapter number 10, and chapter number 11. And so I'll have about 10 minutes per chapter, and we'll see where we get, okay? So 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 20 says, "And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, How shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. No man is strong enough to do all the work of God alone. No man is strong enough to do all the work of God alone. I'm thankful for the opportunity that our pastor has given to me to preach the word of God, and I say thank you to him this evening, and I say thank you to him for being our pastor. And I look forward to looking at this passage of scripture with you this evening. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and hear from you. And Father, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit as I share your word this evening. Father, I pray you'd speak to the hearts of every single person in this room. And I pray that you would touch our hearts to support our pastor. I pray for our pastor that you'd give him a good vacation. I pray that you'd give him power as he leads this church in the direction that you desire for him to lead it. And I pray that the people of this church would be a people who would support him in the endeavors that you lay upon his heart. Lord, we thank you for this night. We pray these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. On December 22, 2001, an Islamic terrorist named Richard Reed boarded American Airlines Flight 63 from Paris to Miami. Reed, who was born in England, had converted to Islam while in prison for theft and had traveled both to Pakistan and Afghanistan, where he received training and explosives, which in this time were hidden in the hollowed out soles of his shoes as he boarded this plane. The plan that he had was to bring down this flight with nearly 200 people on board by exploding the shoes and depressurizing the airplane. After a while, a passenger smelled smoke as Reed was attempting to light the fuse of the bomb with a match in his shoes. Two flight attendants and a number of passengers swarmed him, Reed, who was 6'4" tall and weighed over 200 pounds, and they managed to restrain him. When the plane landed safely, Reed was taken into custody. It would have been difficult for one or two people to have brought that man down that day, but because everybody decided to work together, many lives were spared. And it's amazing what we can do when we work together. And today we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. We're going to learn something from the life of Saul that really is something that is probably a little bit different than what we normally think of when we approach this man, Saul. Because when I say King Saul, most of you probably think failure. He was a failure. Saul failed as a king. He failed to reach his potential. He failed to be the man of God that he had all the potential to be. But that's not what we're going to look at this evening. This evening we're going to look at the passage that we've just read, and specifically the idea that is communicated to us in chapter number 10, verse number 26. Reading it again, the Bible says, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." No man is strong enough to do all the work of God alone. And our pastor is no different than any other man. You see, the passage that we look at this evening is a passage that displays for us a man who had striking potential. And he was a man who was served by others. And he was a man who had this potential largely because God had given it to him and because people were willing to give themselves to the direction of God's calling upon his life. And as a church, if we're going to see God do a work in our church, we must support the man of God. We must support God's man. And so today, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I ask you to ask yourself, am I supporting my pastor? I know our pastor is not King Saul. I know our pastor is not a king. But this passage teaches us that when God calls a man, he calls people to follow him. Because Pastor Jenkins cannot reach the Tri-Cities. Pastor Jenkins cannot reach every person that you or I run into throughout the course of the week. This church cannot have the impact that it could have if we don't follow the vision of the call that God has placed upon our pastor. And so today we're going to study from this man, from this appointment, from this story that is all too familiar to us, about how we can support God's man. And so we're going to look at three keys in this passage to help us understand how we can do that. The first one we want to realize this evening is this: we have to recognize his preparation. Turn, if you would, back one chapter to chapter number 9. Verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of..." But I didn't read all these beforehand out loud, and that's my problem. Bachorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people." In this day in Israel, we find a unique story. We find a unique moment. Because up until this point in Israel, we find that the people of God had followed what we would call a theocracy. They had followed God and God alone. And God would set up a prophet, or God would set up a judge for a time, but it was a man that God had led to a point above the people, never one that they had sought themselves. But at this point in Israel, there was a shifting point. There was a turning point, and the people of Israel had come to Samuel, and Samuel was up in years, and they came to him and they asked him a question, or they asked of him one thing. They said, "Samuel, you're getting old. Your sons, they're not as good as you. And so we have something that we would like you to do for us. We want a king. We want a king. And so they asked for a king, and we're not going to get into all of what that request brings to pass in the nation of Israel, and the fact that it wasn't something they should have asked for at that point, though it was very likely something that God had planned for his people, because if you read in the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible does tell us some specific instructions that God had for kings for his people. And so God had a plan for kings, but it just was not his time yet. So the people preempted the plan of God and they asked for a king. And after that happened, Samuel kind of rebuked the people. And most of you are familiar with the story. And Samuel rebukes the people and sends them home. And after he sends them home, immediately we read what we just read a moment ago. The Bible turns the corner and begins to point to a man that God had prepared. And I want to remind us of something this evening, that when there is a need in the work of God, God has always prepared someone to fill that need. And so no matter what the need may be in our church, there is someone to meet that need. Every time there's somebody there's a need for a Sunday school teacher at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, there is somebody that has been prepared by God to fill that need. Every time there's somebody that's needed to fill behind this pulpit, God has prepared somebody to stand behind this pulpit. God prepares people to meet the needs for his people. And so though the people of God had requested something outside the timing of God, what we find is God still had a man to fill that need. You see, the people didn't choose Saul. God chose Saul. And that's very important for us to realize and recognize as we try to understand how we can support our pastor. But what happened was Saul was sent out from his father, and he went out from his father, and his father had lost some donkeys. And if you can just stop and think about the moment of all that was taking place, Saul was a good son. He was the goodliest guy, the Bible says, in all of Israel. You couldn't find a better looking guy than Saul. He had been prepared. He was handsome. He was tall. He was a man who cut an imposing figure. He was a man who looked like the natural choice. And then he goes out from his father after his father's donkeys go missing. And at the same time, God speaks to Samuel and he tells Samuel, hey, tomorrow there's going to come a guy that is the one that you are going to appoint because he's the one that I've chosen. Because he's the one that I've chosen. We ought never forget that our pastor is the one that God has chosen. The one that God intended to lead our church. The one that God wanted to fill the role of preacher that preaches oftentimes to us more often than anybody else, the one who is to set the direction of our church, the one who is going to be there for you when you are in a great time of need, the one who is going to make sure that your spiritual needs are met, the one who is going to keep the fire stoked, because you know as well as I do that it's very easy to get distracted and to get confused at times when it comes to the will of God. Our pastor was prepared and chosen by God, just like Saul was prepared and chosen by God. Saul did not decide to look like he looked like. Saul did not decide whose family he was going to come from. Saul didn't decide all these things. God did. God made this man. And God prepared him for this work. And so Saul goes and he leaves his father's house as he looks for these donkeys. And he looks for a day and he doesn't find him. And he looks for another day and he doesn't find him. And he looks for another day and he doesn't find him. But on the second day, Samuel was spoken to by God. And on that third day, as Saul came to that point, and his servant looked at him and said, hey, we just need to stop this. We need to stop this business. They're just some donkeys, and your father cares more about you than he does some donkeys. And so let's go back, and Saul and him are having this conversation. But first, let's go to Samuel. And that was a moment that Saul hadn't anticipated. Could you imagine being Saul as all these events are taking place? This is a pretty amazing story if you really stop to think about it. He was just a hardworking son and when he left home. But by the time he returned, he had been appointed the king, the future king of Israel. If you stop and think about all of the thoughts that would swirl through this man's mind as he goes from hill to hill, and if you understand all that was going through his mind, you would begin to understand a little bit more about this story than the fact that Saul was just a failure from the get-go. Because God did not choose Saul to fail. Did you get that? God did not choose Saul to fail. And though we oftentimes think Saul was supposed to fail just because we know how utterly he did, God chose a man who had every opportunity to be one of the greatest kings that Israel ever knew. But he failed. And that's not the point that we're going to stop and dwell on all that much today, but I want us to remember something. God chose a man and fully intended for him to be able to succeed, and fully prepared him for the work that he had called him to. We are oftentimes guilty of trying to plan people's lives. We look at somebody and we think, oh, that guy would make a great fill in the blank. Samuel, our son, as we've already spoken about a couple times already, he was born just 10 days ago. And in the last 10 days already, people have tried to plan his future for him. If you look at him, if you get a chance to look at him, don't get too close and poke him too much because he won't sleep well tonight. But just look from afar and you'll understand that he has relatively large hands for a 10-day-old child. His hands and his fingers are pretty kind of just big looking when it comes to a normal newborn. And so, I mean, probably day one, somebody already recommended to me, hey, one day he could play basketball. Becca's sister said he could probably already palm a basketball. And some people say, one day he'll be able to play the piano. He'll be a great piano player. Or he'll be a great wrestler or a great football player. And we look at people, just like people have looked at our son and already thought, this guy would be great at this. Because we try and plan. Because we understand that there's a purpose for life. And God, when he made Saul, had a plan. He had prepared him for this work. All the time that Saul was growing up, he had no idea what God had in store for him. When he left that day to look for some donkeys, he had no idea what God had in store for him. But God had it in store. You know, our pastor grew up in this church, and many of you knew him, all have known him all of his life. And you had no idea, and neither did he, what God was preparing him for. But remember that God was preparing him for this work. And if we remember the fact that God prepares men for his work, it will change the way that we look at them. Because we understand that God looked at that man in eternity past and said, that's the man that I want to do this. And when God says that, that's the perfect thing for that person to be doing. It's not, maybe one day Samuel will play piano. It's one day Samuel will preach this message. One day Daniel will do this. One day Pastor Jody will stand up and do this. One day your name will do this. God prepares people. And that is something that we should not forget. Recognize his preparation. Recognize that God had a plan. And now I understand that our pastor is not the same as King Saul. I know pastor's not a king. Pastor's a pastor. Pastor was not over a kingdom. Pastor is over a church. Saul was a soldier. Our pastor is a soul winner. Saul was a head and shoulders taller than everybody else. Pastor is a head and shoulders shorter than everybody else. I understand. It's all different, but it's somewhat the same. Because God had a plan for our pastor. God has a plan for our church. But we have to realize that we have to support the man that God has chosen. And so the second thing we want to look at today, beyond just recognizing his preparation, is we want to respond to his presentation. And that's what we read about this evening. And that's really the meat of everything that we're looking at. Just a couple days ago, I was praying, and I always pray a lot about what I'm supposed to study and what I'm supposed to preach. And sometimes I know far in advance. Sometimes I don't know far in advance. And just a few days ago, I was praying that God would show me what he wanted me to preach. And I had read 1 Samuel chapter 10 the day before in my devotions. And then the next day as I was reading, I just happened to look back at the chapter. And I just looked over and my eyes landed on verse 26. And Saul also went home to Gibeah And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. You see, what happened in this passage is really a wonderful example of what happens in most churches today. You see, Saul was hiding in the stuff, and we could look at that. We could look at Saul's humility. We could spend a little bit more time looking at Saul. But we want to look at the people that Saul was to lead if we're going to understand our role. And what happened in this moment is what happened so many times in churches. You see, after the whole moment passed, and after Samuel lifts up Saul, and everybody can see him because he's so tall, and they understand, okay, this is the guy, and they shout out, God save the king, and they're all excited. The Bible says Samuel records for them some truths about the kingdom, and then he sends them home. He says, and every man went to his house. We find three groups of people when it comes to the response to God's chosen. The first group just went home. After Saul was presented as king, and after all the hoopla, some people just went back to life. They thought, well, that doesn't really have much to do with me, and my life's going to basically go on probably just about the same as it did yesterday, as it will tomorrow. Now Saul's our king. Who really cares? And oftentimes in churches, who your pastor is doesn't really matter. Or who the pastor of somebody is doesn't really matter. Because your life is going to be one way if pastor's your pastor, or if I was your pastor, or if Brother Seaman was your pastor, because your life is just the same. It's just a different person yelling at you when you come to church every service. And so we don't think oftentimes that the man that God has placed in our lives really has much to bear upon the direction of our lives. But that's not true. You see, what happened next was after this group of people had just kind of saw what happened and they go home, we find another group. And we find a group, the Bible says, a band of men whose hearts God had touched. You know, church, that's the type of person I want to be. That's the type of person I hope and I believe most of you want to be. But I want you to ask yourself that question this evening, because that's the question that I've been asking myself ever since I read this verse a few days ago. Am I a man who supports my pastor? Do I lift up my pastor as I ought to lift up my pastor? Do I pray for him? Do I support him? Do I encourage him in the vision that God has placed upon his heart? I'm not the pastor of this church. I don't decide the direction, but I know the heart of the pastor, or I can get to know the heart of my pastor. And I ought to be a man who God has touched my heart, and I'm going to follow with zeal because I know that God has prepared this man to do a work in this area that I can't do, but I can help him do. And that ought to be your heart. And that is why I wanted to bring this passage before you this evening, because if we don't constantly revisit this, we'll drift into that first group, or we'll drift into the third. You see, in the next verse, the Bible says, but the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. You see, Saul didn't even escape the moment of his exaltation before he was criticized. And there's a lot of criticism sometimes in churches for the man of God, just like there was in Saul's day. You see, though Saul wasn't a pastor, he was familiar with criticism. He was a man who hadn't really done anything to provoke the ire of these people. And yet, they felt it was their place to put him in his place. And if you think it's your ministry to keep the pastor humble, you're wrong. If you're in this place and you think, hey, somebody just needs to remind every once in a while our pastor that he's a man too, and he wakes up and he falls asleep and he has to use an alarm just like everybody else in the world. If that's the way you think about the man of God, whether it's your pastor or whether it's some missionary or somebody else, that is wrong. The children of Belial, these wicked, useless people in the Word of God, people who were always there just to add that snide little remark. And if that's the way that we think about the direction of our church, that is not the way that we go forward as a church. And they've never built a monument to a critic, just so you know. There's never going to be a time where your name is going to be exalted because you are the one who reminded people, hey, if that isn't done just right, oh, I wish that could have, if we had just done that way, I'm sure that would have worked out. And just so you know, newsflash, when things happen at our church and they don't happen maybe the perfect way, pastor gets done and he thinks, well, we probably could have done that better. And so don't feel like it's your ministry to remind everybody about how things could go better. Find a way to make them better next time by helping. Allow God to touch your heart. Allow God to use you. Don't allow the devil to use you. I just finished a few days ago the autobiography of one of our missionaries, Edgar Fagali. It just got released this week, and it's a great book, and I'd encourage you to get a hold of it and read it. And he records for us a perfect illustration of how God raises up people to help his servants. Because Brother Fagali had heard of the opportunity to do work in Iraq, and all of a sudden, though he wished he had more time to prepare for it, he found he had to go, and he had to go now. And he had no idea what he was going to do when he got there. And so as he prepared to go, and he got his ticket, and he flew over to Jordan, and they got in a car, he had no idea what he was going to do when he got to Iraq, when he got to Baghdad. And as he drove all that distance, and they made their way there, they got there, and one of the people that they met up with suggested that he go and preach in a church of a different denomination, and though under normal circumstances he wouldn't do that, he had no idea what to do. He was just praying that God would bring a man across their path that would have the same heart for church planting and seeing lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ there. And so he went and he preached there, and afterwards they had a little meeting, and he was introduced to a man. And that man, as they began to speak, it soon became clear that that man had the exact same heart that Edgar Fagali had for church planting in that area of the world. And I wanted to tell that story this evening to remind you and to remind me that when God does a work in the heart of a man of God, he prepares other people to follow him. Let God touch your heart. Let God use you in this church. Don't be a child of Belial. Don't be that person who's always just slipping in those little remarks. Respond to his presentation. Follow our pastor. Follow the man that God has chosen. And then the last thing, just really quickly, rally to his proclamation. Rally to his proclamation. The following chapter records for us the moment in which Saul is proven before the people. Because up until this point, nobody knew Saul. Up until this point, Saul really had done nothing that you would normally think of as being kingly. And so at this moment, there comes a time for Saul to prove himself. And Nahash, the Ammonite, comes and he besieges Jabesh-Gilead. And in his pride, he allows for time for people to come and to rescue them, basically. And so that's exactly what Saul does. And Saul sends out the call, and he calls people. And when he hears of the need, he hews up a yoke of oxen, and he sends it out to the people. And he says, this is what I'm going to do to your oxen if you don't come and help. And then 330,000 people come and help when they realize what was taking place, and they respond to the call. They rally to his message. They come when he asks for help. And so next time our pastor holds up a little yellow sheet that says, hey, we need some help with the cancer ministry, will you rally to the call? And next time somebody gets up and says, hey, we need some help with the missions conference, will you rally to the call? And next time somebody stands up or says something in your Sunday school class about being a help or reaching out to people, will you rally to the call? God worked when people followed. God threw off this siege. He saved the people. And so many times we look at the call to serve God like a little boy looked at a wall in a church one day. He was standing looking at this wall and a large plaque on the wall. And as he was standing there looking at it, his pastor came up to him and he asked me, he said, "Alex, what are you looking at?" And Alex, looking at that plaque, he said, "I see all these names that are listed here and the little flags next to them. What does all this stand for?" And the pastor looked at him and he said, "Alex, well, this is a memorial to all the young men and women from our church who died in the service." And Alex got a concerned look on his face. And he looked at his pastor and he said, "What service? The 11 o'clock or the 6:30? Oftentimes, when it comes to serving God, we always look at it in the worst possible way. And so when somebody gets up and calls out to you and to me for help, when our pastor gets up and says, this is the direction, not that I'm leading the church, but that God is leading our church, will you rally to the call? Will I support the man of God?" Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the day that you've given to us today. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here this evening. And Lord, I pray that you would guide our church forward. Lord, I pray you'd help us to follow our pastor and to encourage our pastor. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be a church that is used of you. And Lord, I know that a large part of that comes in play when it comes to our relationship with the man that you've chosen to be over us. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had today to look into your word. And I pray these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. With your eyes bowed, or your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I invite you to stand to your feet real quickly. As the music begins to play, just for a few seconds, if God has spoken to your heart, and I'm not going to ask you to come forward, I want you in your seat tonight to ask yourself, will I follow my pastor? Will I rally to the call? Just like these did with King Saul. Ask yourself that question today. And I'd encourage you to pray in your seat and ask God to help you to do what you ought to do, and I'll ask God to help me do the same.
Have a seat, if you would. Take out your prayer list. We want to get to prayer really quickly here. The missionaries tonight, let me just give you a few things. If you'll take out that sheet.